Krishna consciousness movement, which we are presenting, should not be misunderstood as an Indian movement or an Eastern movement or Western movement. It is actually a spiritual movement, a pure transcendental movement. Just like, for example, now the sun is over Miami, but the sun is not a Miami sun. And similarly, when the sun goes over Japan, it is not a Japanese sun. The sun is always universal. So in the same way, wherever this Krishna consciousness may appear, either in India or in America or in South America or Canada or Europe, it is transcendental. Goloka Prema Dhan Harinam Sankirtana. It is a transcendental movement coming from the spiritual platform. And there is great need of it at the present time in America. Last night, I was invited to speak on one radio program. What is that program?
Alan Burke Show.
Yes. So I spoke, and also some other people spoke. They were simply presenting some useless idea of God. That is the actual situation at the present time. I hope you will excuse me, but I'm going to speak very bluntly. Because at the present time, not only in America, but also all around the world, people have completely forgotten what God actually is. And because people, despite what they call themselves, Christians or Hindus, or Muslims or Jews or whatever they may call themselves, are in fact simply becoming materialistic, and they have no clear understanding of God, and they do not know what God's desire is or how to please God. And the practical result is that the present world is simply in chaos. It is in political chaos, psychological chaos, family is in chaos, social chaos. Everything is more or less chaotic, and we are simply struggling, trying to maintain our society. There is so much crime, there is inflation, neurosis is increasing, and also there is so much political trouble. We are in a very dangerous situation. At any moment, everything may be destroyed by a Holocaust. Political Holocaust. So we are saying that these problems are caused by our forgetting God. For example, in the family, if the father is intelligent and the children obey him, then the family goes very nicely. But if the father is forgotten or not obeyed, then the family will become chaotic. It's a very simple thing. So in the same way, we are actually meant to follow the law of God. If we do not follow the law of God, despite how much money we may have in our bank account, despite what particular type of car we are driving, or what title we have after our name, or how beautiful we may be, or how strong, or how famous, we are in fact criminals because we are not following the law of God. Anyone who does not follow the law, he's criminal. So there are other laws beyond the whimsical laws that our so-called legislators are making every day. Simply, we have so many legislators, many of them are drunkards or woman hunters or whatever they may be. Some of them may have a little sincerity, but none of them have very good brains, and they are simply making one law after the other, taking bribes, making politics, and the whole country is going to hell. So what we are trying to do, very frankly, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to train up a group of men and women who are purified and competent and qualified to give this country something which it has not had for a long time, and that is spiritual direction. Because I personally was shocked last night to see supposedly learned gentlemen on this radio program presenting themselves as religious and spiritual leaders and speaking such nonsense. For example, one point is that God is a controller. There's no use talking about God and then rejecting what God actually is. For example, God means he's the controller of everything. So one gentleman telephoned in this program and wanted to know why the weather is becoming so crazy. For example, I believe yesterday there was some snow in Wyoming or someplace. So usually it doesn't snow in the spring. So he wanted to know why the weather is becoming so bad. So everyone's on this program, all the different members said, "I don't know, we can't explain this." So I said, "I know. We are being punished by God. Because actually, if God is omnipotent, as our scriptures say, and it doesn't matter what religion we are, all of our scriptures say that God is all-powerful. So if God is all-powerful, he certainly has the power to change the weather. Therefore, if we are experiencing such difficult times, extreme cold, rain, and so on and so forth, this is punishment from God." And yet one of the people on this program was such a fool that although he's a so-called religious leader, he said, "No, God doesn't control these things." So I insisted, "No, he does, and we are being punished." And then he said, "No, God is love. God would not punish." Another foolish idea. So I had to point out to him, doesn't the mother sometimes punish the child out of love? Is it that the mother only loves a child if she gives him whatever he likes? You want to play in the street? Yes, go play in the street. You want to eat only candy? Yes, only eat candy. Whatever you like, do that. This is my love. This is not love. This is foolishness. This is not love. Sometimes a mother may punish the child, and sometimes a mother may embrace the child. These are both love. So in this way, also I was presenting the point last night that God is a person, because in all of our scriptures it is explained that God is our Father. Even if we don't know anything else about God, at least that much, we should not argue about that point, that God is a Father. So do we have any experience in our practical life of a Father who is not a person? Has anyone ever seen such a thing, or read about such a thing, or heard about such a thing? A Father who is not a person? We say that we are realists. We want to be realistic. So realistically, have you ever seen a Father who is not a person? So I explained to them this simple fact that God is a person. And yet these foolish people wanted to say publicly on the air that no, God is not a person. God has no individuality. He can only express his love through us. This world is the expression of God's love. Therefore, God expresses himself through us. This is a very unintelligent idea. Why does God depend on us? Can God express himself? Just like one may say, "I'm speaking, God is expressing himself through me and I'm speaking." But can God also speak? Is he so foolish? Is he so weak? Is he so unintelligent that he cannot speak personally? Therefore, in this way, because we are accepting so many compromising, watered down, wishy-washy, ambiguous ideas about God, practically there is no more spiritual life in this country. Of course, not only this country, but all around the world. But because we are in America, I'm specifically speaking now about America. So there is no more spiritual life in this country, practically. Simply hypocrisy and bluffing. All the different... these are the facts. So therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement has been started not to impose Indian culture upon the American people, but to give people real spiritual life. Therefore, this particular ceremony that we are performing today is to give spiritual initiation. Spiritual initiation does not mean, as we may think in America, an occasion upon which a big reception is held, all of one's friends and relatives are invited, everyone gets completely drunk, dances with everyone else's wife, and you give the young initiated boy his first cigar. This is not actually spiritual initiation. This is a very good material initiation. It is a very nice material initiation, but it is not spiritual initiation. So we are trying to show what spiritual initiation is. In spiritual initiation, you actually do the opposite. You agree. When one is spiritually initiated, it is the opposite. He agrees, I will not have any illicit sex. Not that we take a picture of him sitting with all of his girlfriends, but we promise that there will be no illicit sex in my life. That means if he likes, he can get married, he can have children, but other than that, he will not have sex. Does this mean that he's repressed or frustrated? No. Because he's trained to have spiritual pleasure. We should not be proud that we can have very frequent sex life, or think that because a man is very good at sex, therefore he's a very big man. Because we have to point out that such common and low animals as pigs, dogs, pigeons, and asses, they also have lots of sex. So I'm a human being. I have human intelligence. By my intelligence, I can distinguish that there's a soul within my body. The pig, he cannot distinguish that there's a soul in his body. A pig or a dog, they cannot read scriptures, they cannot chant God's name, they can simply eat, sleep, they can have sex, and they can fight with each other. But we are not meant to be like pigs and dogs and restrict our activities to eating very nicely in fancy restaurants, living in a very nice condominium or mansion, very nice house, defending ourselves with so many nuclear weapons, and then very active, very vigorous sex life. Nowadays, people think that if I do these things, then my life is perfect, I am successful, I've made it. This is not a fact. Because these four activities, while they cannot be denied or repressed, alone, they constitute only animal life and not human life. We also eat, we also sleep, we also can defend ourselves, and we also have marriage life with sex, procreation. But we do not limit ourselves to these things. These things are basic necessities, just like one has to go to the bathroom. But he should not congratulate himself that today I've gone to the bathroom 3 times, now I'm a big man. Now my life is successful. No. So in the same way, just because one can eat in a nice restaurant or sleep in a penthouse, or have very nice sex. These are simply bodily necessities. They don't mean that life is successful. Simply to fulfill these bodily necessities. Life becomes successful when we can understand God and understand the soul within this body. So it is very important to point out that understanding God does not mean, as people, it has become very popular to say nowadays, or whatever you think, that's all right, if it makes you happy, whatever you believe. But this is anarchy. This is spiritual anarchy. Just like, for example, if we give someone a driver's license, we don't tell him, you just drive however it makes you happy. You just get in that car, turn on the engine, and just do whatever you feel like doing. Just be happy. No. There are traffic laws. There are rules and regulations. You have to stop here, turn here. So in this way also, there are laws of God. And we have to follow them. Then we can be free. So we have to study what God is. In America, we study very scientifically practically everything except God. For example, we have big departments in the universities to study oceanography. We want to study the ocean. They send down bathyscaphs and submarines to study the ocean. And we have geology, archaeology, and related sciences to study the land. Similarly, we have space science and also science of anatomy, biology, psychology. We have so many sciences. We Americans are very proud that we are very scientific. But where is the science to study the soul? Where is the science to study God? We are so scientific. But when it comes to God, we suddenly become unscientific and we say, oh, whatever you think is all right, it doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter? Why does it matter so much whether it's going to rain or not tomorrow, what the weather will be, or exactly what the fish look like in the bottom of the ocean, or to dig up in archaeology, want to dig up so many things, find out what people looked like 7,000 years ago. We want to study everything scientifically. We want to study history and biology. Everything we want to study except God. That we don't care. We simply say it doesn't matter. Whatever you think is all right. So this is a disgrace that in every other field we are so scientific. But when it comes to God, we are so whimsical and so disinterested. Whatever you think is all right. This kind of lack of seriousness is spoiling this country. So when we say that we are not this body, that we are the soul within this body, this is not our opinion. This can be demonstrated. I will now demonstrate it. Everyone can understand by a little contemplation that previously he or she was a young boy or girl. And when we were a young boy or a young girl, we had a very tiny body. We were playing with our little body. So now, where is that body? Where is that young girl's body or young boy's body that was playing? That's gone. Actually, it is a fact of science that every 7 years, your body is changing. Just like, for example, your hair is growing, you cut it off, your nails, your skin. So in this way, all the parts of the body are replaced in 7 years' time. And in fact, you have a body made of new elements. So therefore, the body is different. But we are still the same person. If a child leaves his home, leaves his family, and then comes back in 10 years, immediately his mother will embrace him, or his father will embrace him. They'll say, "My son has come back." But the body hasn't come back. The body that walked out is not the same body that just walked back in. It's a different, scientifically it's a different body, but still you say it's my son. Why? Because the soul has come back. The same body hasn't come back. It's actually a different body. So who is that person whom we are loving? If you say, "I love my son," or "I love my father," or "I love my wife," whom are you actually loving? Are you loving this body? Or are you loving something else which is inside the body? Actually, it is that something else. Because this body is changing, but we remain the same person. You can understand, you can feel, that I'm still the same person I always was. I may be in a different place now, I'm doing something different, but I'm the same person. But that's not the same body. So practically any fool can understand that we are not this body. But unfortunately, our entire American or Western civilization is based on the idea that I am this body, that I'm American, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm so many years old, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Christian, I'm Hindu. But these things only describe the body, but we are not the body. So our entire civilization is in fact based on a mistake. And because it's based on a mistake, everything is coming out wrong. Just like we've built all these big cities so we can have a comfortable life. But unfortunately, there are juvenile gangs, there's drug addiction, there's pollution, there are new diseases. There are so many problems. And we cannot overcome these problems. Our solutions simply cause more problems. We try to solve our problems and we create more problems because it's all based on a mistake. That mistake is thinking, number one, that I'm this body, man or woman, young or old, American or Chinese, I am this material body, this flesh and bones. And the second mistake is thinking that the purpose of our life is to gratify this body. So if we accept, if we are determined, stubborn, to go on thinking that I'm a body and the purpose of my life is to gratify this body, then don't talk about spiritual life. Don't talk about religion. Because you won't find this in any religion. This is our concoction, our imagination. Then we are simply atheist, materialist, and don't talk about spiritual life. I am Christian, I am Jewish, I am Hindu. If we want to accept that I'm a body and the purpose of life is to gratify this body, then we should not be hypocrites and pretend that we belong to some religion. So this is the first point of spiritual life. How can we talk about spiritual life unless we admit that we ourselves are spirit? If we are not spirit, then what is the use of anything spiritual? Because spiritual means pertaining to spirit. So if there is no such thing as spirit, if there is no spirit, then what does it mean spiritual? And if there is such a thing as spirit, what is that spirit? So no one knows this. But that spirit is a soul within the body, and we are that soul. This body is just like our outward dress. For example, at night, when you go to sleep, you take off your clothes, you put them away, you lie down in your bed and go to sleep, and you forget everything. And in the morning you wake up and you put on some new clothes and you go out again. So exactly like this. What is death? Now there's great interest in death and dying, but they're simply giving so many foolish ideas. Here's the real explanation is that death is exactly like taking off your clothes and going to sleep. This body is just like a dress. You take it off at the time of death, you go to sleep inside the womb of another mother, you come out again in a new dress, a new body. That's a fact. This is called transmigration of the soul, because we're eternal. So you have to go somewhere, because you're eternal. Just like, for example, now I'm in Miami. So a few days ago I was somewhere else, and a few days from now I'll be somewhere else. You may not see me, but I'm still existing. So just as I am moving from one city to another city, or just like you may go from one room to another room in your house, so the soul is moving from one body to another body. That's a fact. This is a fact. This is called karma, or transmigration of the soul. So a logical question should be, why is this happening to me? How did I get into this situation? Why am I going from one body to another? And the answer is, very simple, common sense. Americans like common sense. So here's something which is common sense, that we are in this world and we are taking one body after another because we want to, because we desire it. Just like, why did you come here? Because you wanted to. And why are you going to leave? Because you want to. So why do you have that body? Because you wanted it. And why did we want this body? To enjoy material life. Isn't it a fact that everyone with their body is trying to enjoy? For example, if you have a woman's body, then you're trying to enjoy a man. And if you have a man's body, you're trying to enjoy a woman. And if you have a child's body, you want to play. So based on the particular type of body we have, we want to enjoy. And that's why we got this body. So if at the time of our death, we want to go on enjoying material life, then God is very liberal. He's very kind. He'll give you another one. Here's another body. Now try again. And then at our next death, here's another body. Here's another body. And we can go on trying as long as we like to enjoy this material world. But unfortunately, it's impossible. Why? Because in this life, there is birth, death, old age, and disease. People are becoming so foolish. That last night in the program, this radio program, I said that in this life there are so many miseries such as birth, old age, disease, and death. So immediately one so-called religious leader said, well, you can't say old age is miserable. You can't say disease is miserable. You can't say death is miserable. So at this point it was becoming so outrageous that even the announcer, this Mr. Burke, he had to cut in and say, excuse me, but actually, these things are miserable. Let's not get out of hand. So, it's just like you may buy a car and you can't take it back. It's already yours. So after you buy it, you find out there was a better car you could have bought, but now you have to defend it. No, actually, it's a nice car. It has a lot of nice features. And or just like the parents, they may have a child. He may not be very beautiful, but they have to see him as beautiful. So in the same way, just like there's one story in Sanskrit, a nice Indian story that one child was born blind, but the mother, because she loved her child so much, even though he was blind, she named him Padmalochana, which means lotus eyes. In other words, eyes which are as beautiful as lotus flowers, Padmalochana, even though he was blind. So because we have taken up material life as everything, therefore we're trying to defend it. No, death is actually not bad. You simply have to understand it. And disease, well, that's simply another experience. And old age, well, that's the best time of life. So in this way, people are becoming so foolish. The most simple thing they can't understand, how they're being punished. The most simple thing people can't understand. Just like, for example, there's one funny story. At least some of us think it is funny that there was one man. He was very strong. He became angry with another man who was not as strong. So he was chasing him with a stick and beating him. So the weaker man was running away. Like anything, he was running. And as he was running, he was turning around and yelling at the stronger man, "I'm not afraid of you. Why should I run from you?" So in this way, at every moment we are being beaten by this material world. We are suffering in so many ways. And we are saying, "No, I'm not suffering. Why should I give up material life? There is no unhappiness." So this is foolishness. We are suffering in so many ways. We are never becoming happy. Our happiness is that we are suffering, and when this suffering lets up a little bit, that's happiness. For example, you're in great anxiety, or you're suffering, so you take a drink, and by taking a drink, we forget for a moment, that's happiness. Or we have so many problems, we want to go to a movie, or sex, something to take our mind off our misery. And if for a few moments we can forget how unhappy we are, that's happiness. It's not happiness. It means your misery lets up a little bit. That's happiness. And then death comes, old age. So there's not happiness. So spiritual life.